how to get from Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, how to get Raghunath Bhakti. So which point, which he's need to do something to realize how to do Raghunath, to get Raghunath Bhakti in his life. So so we have to mark Raghunath Bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Raghunath Sadhana Bhakti. So he want to go to Raghunath. So he want to ask you properly how to get some points, some other things.
Jai Shri Guru. Devotee is asking a very nice question. They're presently practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and they have some curiosity and they have some awareness of another type of sadhana bhakti. There's two types of sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana and Raghunuga Sadhana. So the devotee is aware that there's, frankly, when I joined, I didn't know anything such thing as Raghunuga Sadhana. It's mentioned kind of briefly and not so clearly in Nectar of Devotion. But I wasn't much conscious in those days when I joined, 1975. But now it's quite a well-known form of sadhana, quite popular. You can go on New Google and type in Raghunuga Bhakti, you get hundreds of sites and explanations about the subject and the practice of sadhana. And you're saying how to get and how to transit, let's say, transfer or graduate or go forward from Vaidhi sadhana to Raghunuga sadhana. Unfortunately, the progress or the transition. Transition or progress from one form of sadhana to another is not actually in our hand. It's nothing that we can actually consciously do. It's like, what do I do to get into this college, or what do I do to, you know, someone says, oh, I want to be your student. What do I have to be your disciple? And the guru may have some different requirements to said you should be vegetarian, and you should be a very moral and religious person. And some qualities are demanded, some characteristics. They're listed also in Shastra, the characteristics of the Shishya and the characteristics of the Guru. So the Shishya looking for Guru, he can see what are the characteristics of Guru. And they're divided into two categories, Vishesh Lakshan and the Sadharan Lakshan. What they call ordinary, no guru is ordinary. Every guru is extraordinary. But in terms of, there's like you say, a superior level or form of guru, and then the first class guru and second class guru is guru. And most, very rare to find the first class. And the first class definition is given, they're born in Brahmin family and born in a Vaishnava family, devoted from birth, and all so many other characteristics. And you see people all around, especially in Vrindavan, they're born in Goswami families or other families. So they're not only born in Brahmins, but most importantly, these are some social and varna considerations. But then the next considerations are the Brahmanishtam. Mm-hmm. Is he fixed in the Brahman? And is he had anubhuti? Has he had experience of Krishna? And that he knows, and the disciple can't see that, but that will be understood by the feelings. The disciple, when approaches the guru, he'll understand by his heartly connection, feelings, yes, my guru has experienced Krishna. Important. These are probably the two most important verses to just find guru. When I personally ask my own guru, Pandit Sri Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, I said, what is the best definition of guru? And recited this verse, which is in this particular book, which some people know about. It's the first verse in the chapter. Chapter subject is Guru Tattva. So Guru Tattva means begins with guru. So this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Lord Chaitanya has established that Bhagavatam is a pure Praman. There's no higher Praman than the Bhagavatam. All the Goswami books, all the Tattva books, and even the Leela books, all the Leela and Tattva books of the Goswamis are based on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Leela books, of course, are expansions of the Rasa Leela and Venugita and Gopi Gita and Brahmagita. And the tattva expansions of their writings all come from all the rest of the Bhagavatam. And then the Kapila Shiksha, Prahlad Shiksha, and Uddhava Shiksha. It's called Uddhava Gita. So all that, there's so much tattva and lila in the Bhagavat. So the Bhagavat is the ocean. The cloud gets its water from the ocean and then rains back on the people. So the ocean is the Bhagavat. Bhagavat Samudra. Bhagavat Sindhu. So the Bhagavat is the ocean. And then the sadhus, they draw the water, they take, they're like sun, and they take, with the heat of their bhakti, they draw the tattvas from the Bhagavatam, and then they rain them down in different books and different writings. So when I asked him, he quoted, because he's a Bhagavad Acharya, so practically all the time he quotes the Bhagavatam or Goswamis. So 11th canto, chapter 3, verse 21. This is Navayogendras, the teachings of the Navayogendras. And it's also in... It's also quoted by Vishwanath Chakravarti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. So here he says, the Bhagavad says, definition of Guru, tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyashu shre uttamam shabde pure cha nishnatam brahman upashamashrayam. So it says it is upashama ashrayam. Means these are some Sanskrit terms you may not know. We have something called upasana, and we have upasya, and we have upasaka. So the upasya is the object of our upasana. Upasana is the method of worship, method of you sit near the Ishtadev and you do puja. Devi upasanam, Shiva upasanam, Durga upasanam, Ganesha upasanam, Vishnu upasanam, upasanam. So then it says here that his ashraya upasya. So it comes out upasham ashraya, upasham. He has taken complete shelter of the upasya. The upasya means, in our case, the guru is taking complete shelter of Radha and Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, like Prabhupada always sang. So this is the first thing. Then Brahmanye. He said he's fixed. He's realized. Brahman, he's fixed. He's surrendered to them and he's realized them. Then it says, Shabde Pure Nishnatam. Pure means he's Shabde. He's heard the knowledge and he's Nishta. Like Nishta? Nishnatam. Shabda means Shabda Brahman. He's heard the Bhagavatam. He's heard from his guru. He's heard from the Shastras. And he's fixed. And he's experienced of Krishna, and he's fully sheltered Radha and Krishna. Tasmad gurum prapadyante. So first it says, you should surrender prapadyante to this guru. Jignyasu. First it tells, in one verse it tells the disciple and the guru. He says, you surrender. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. Shreyas and prayas. Prayas means immediate benefit. Shreyas means long-term, permanent, ultimate spiritual benefit. The best thing possible for the soul is the Shreyas. Uttam, because Shreya also means art. Art means economic development, some progress, some promotion, some money. So that's why it's saying, it's not only, in other words, if it's Shreyas, it's long-term benefit for you. If you go to college, get an education, get a degree as a doctor, then you work hard, then later you'll get great benefit because you'll make a lot of money and help a lot of people and you'll be a satisfying job. So, but that's Shreya. But this is Shreya Uttama. Uttam, everyone knows Uttam. Uttamadikari. Means the topmost form of Shreya is what's going to liberate the soul. And Sonaka Rishi asked Sutta Goswami in the beginning of Bhagavatam, for someone who's about to die, what should he do? What is the essential thing he should do? And then Sutta Goswami says he should remember Krishna. Just think of, hear about Krishna, remember Krishna. The whole discussion. Most essential tattva for everyone to know, and I mentioned this last week, is first canto. What did I tell you? First canto, most essential chapter. First canto, you remember?
First canto, second chapter.
Thank you. First canto, second chapter. In the beginning days, in 66, 67, 68, and I came in 75, but still that was known, and that we were told, and we did that when I joined. Prabhupada had all the devotees memorize the verses in chapter 2 in the Bhagavatam. And what are those verses? And Prabhupada's shloka book, the whole chapter is here, I think so, which backs up my point. Here they are. Prabhupada loved these verses. And canto 1-2. He quoted, it starts off with, this is from first canto, chapter 2, verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and then 28, 29. So this is all from chapter 2. And it's very interesting because the Bhagavatam, if you take out our Goswami commentaries, you know this point. If we take out our Goswami commentaries from the Bhagavatam and leave Sridhar and others, but all the Goswamis, then the conclusion of the Bhagavatam and all the Puranas is what? The conclusion is Vishnu is a source of Krishna. And all Indians say that. We preach, no, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Excuse me, sir. In Ramayana, it says Ramchandra is Swayam Bhagavan. The same word, Swayam. We say, no, Krishna is a Swayam. So is Ram. So this very chapter that Prabhupada ends with, in the verse he memorized, he says all these things, because this whole chapter too is how to start with bhakti and how to attain prem. It tells us in these last few verses, it says Srinivatam, it says Tada Rajas, it talks about Nishta, all the tikas here, you can see these last few verses, it talks about Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, and Bhava, the whole thing, Evam Prasana Manaso. At the end of the chapter, chapter 2, Evam prasana manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. It starts off with sadhana and ends up with mukti, moksha. And prasana manaso, your mind becomes very blissful, very happy and satisfied. Bhagavat bhakti yogata, and you're fully absorbed in bhakti yoga. And bhagavat tattva vijnan, and you understand, you realize all the truths of the bhakti. And mukta sangasya jayate, and you're going to win the association of Muktanath, I mean of Mukunda in the spiritual world. It says here, translation, thus established, it says established in Vishuddha Sattva, the man whose mind is enlivened by contact with devotional service gains positive scientific knowledge of God and liberation from all material, from the material world. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, all misgivings are cut to pieces, the chain of fruit of actions is terminated, one sees the self as the master. So this is basically, this is the Jivan Mukta. The Jivan Mukta is in the body, but it becomes liberated. Seeing the self as the master means seeing that I'm totally a slave and servant of the Paramatma. He's living. Iha yasya harera dasya karmana manasagira. Says this is the Jivan, in the next verse, Jivan Mukta yuchate. This is the characteristics of the Jiva. Haridas, a Haridas Jivan Mukta, because there's a Jnani. You read in the Gita, chapter 5 and 6, it talks about the Jivan Mukta, who is a Jnani, by Jnan Marg. He's in the Brahman. But there's also Jivan Mukta in the Bhakti Marg. So this chapter is so important. So how does it conclude? All these things, you become blissful. It says, Vasudeva Pra Veda, Vasudeva Pra Makaha, Vasudeva Pra Yoga, Vasudeva Pra Kriya, Vasudeva Pram Jnanam, Pram tapat pro dharma pragati. So Vasudev means Vishnu. So the whole conclusion is Vishnu. But then we give our commentaries. Just like in the Bhagavatam, it says Krishna left Vrindavan, went to Mathura Dwarka, and never came back. But in the tikas of the Goswamis, Krishna went to Akuragat with Krishna and Balaram on the chariot, chapter 39. Then he went to take snan in the Yamuna. And Akura, he saw Anantashesh. Vishnu lying not the Shesh, and the Shesh was Balaram, Vishnu lying not the Shesh with Krishna. And then he went back to the chariot, they were also sitting in the chariot. So then he went back and he saw them in the water. So when he came back, then real Krishna Balaram, our Goswami say, got off the chariot, walked back to Braj, to Nandagam. And then this Vishnu and Natashesh, they got back on the chariot, and was Vasudev, Vishnu Krishna, Vasudev Krishna went there, and Sankarshan Ram went there to Mathura. Because that's the Aishwarya aspect of Bhagavan. But the Madhurya aspect, Vrindavanam Prityaja Padamekam Nagachati. Padamekam Nagachati. Now one step out, Negaya. Krishna Nejange. He's not takes one ekpada out. No. He doesn't leave the Vrindavan. So this is such a beautiful chapter. Because in the commentaries on these verses, they explain the very rustic, Vishwanath gives very rustic commentaries on this, chapter 2. So this is the qualification of the guru. So now, your question was about how do I graduate from Vaidhi Sadhana to Raghunuga Sadhana? And why I mentioned that point about the qualification of the guru, because there are gurus that are practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, and there are gurus that are practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. And gurus that practice Raghunuga Bhakti, they also follow all the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti. There are 64 limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti, offering prayers and padasevanam. All these things are done. I've talked about this many times. And there's only 5 things that in Rag Marg they don't do, but even we find in modern day in Vidhi Marg they don't do either. In Vaidhi Marg or Vidhi Marg, you're supposed to do 5 things. It's part of the Vishnu worship and Krishna worship. You're supposed to meditate on Krishna's Dwarka Leela. And you're supposed to meditate and pray for the mercy of the queens of Dwarka. It's called Mahishi Puja, Dwarka Dhyan. You're supposed to, Dwarka Dhyan, this is in the Puranas and in the descriptions of Bhakti Bhajan. And it's also mentioned. So then it says Dwarka Dhyan, meditating on Dwarka Leela, and Mahishi Puja. You should worship the queens of Dwarka. Mahishi means the queens. Then you should do Nyas. Nyas means you touch your nose and different parts of your body and chant mantras when you do puja. We used to do these things because I did all this in 1977. We entered, started all these kind of rituals and things, you know, stopping and all these things. I'm not born at Vrindavan, Brahman. It's Rag Marg. We don't blow the conch shell either. Neither does Radharaman. You go to Vrindavan, no conch shells. This is Aishwarya. Anyway, that's a whole other chapter. Anyway, so there's Nyas, then there's Mudras. I just did 2 of them. Nyas means you touch and chant a mantra that's that upper lip, lower lip. This, you know, this is a long time, 1977 to 81, I was doing puja for Jagannath and Radha Gokulananda in Berkeley, 1977-1981. A very sweet time, very sweet, nice time. We had the book, all these diagrams, and just looking at the book and everything for about 3 weeks, 1 month, and finally, okay, we'll just do all this stuff. Draw all these triangles on the first, almost try a putt, and all these mantras, and you draw these, you know, yin-yang triangles and everything, you know, and then bring the articles, and Avahan, Otakrishi, Avahan, Avagam. And now it's like, Rade, Rade, Jai, 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 Raj, Bhava, Ki, Jai. Here's some Tulsi Patra little mystery on Ano, Jai. May Sadhuun. I don't have Chapman Bog. It's Torah mystery and you know, Tulsi Patra and some Radhakon Jal, Anan, Jai, you know. And I'd take some of my Madhukari, here's have some roti, Anan. This is the thing, Rag Marg. So to enter Raghunuga Bhakti, it's very easy. We can just follow. We should get the answer from Rupa Goswami. How about that? Who can answer better than Rupa Goswami? You'll accept that answer, and you can convey to your friend or to yourself or whomever. So in the first wave of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and the second, first ocean, northern ocean, second wave, means chapter first part, chapter 2. In verse 309, the last verse of the chapter on Vaidhi Sadhana, and it's the last verse discussing Raghunuga Bhakti. Before that, from verse 270, it's in English by Prabhupada, Nectar of Devotion, it's Bhakti and other places, I think Bhanuswami also, I have myself in English, maybe have on your folio. From verses 270 to 309 is 39, it's about 40 verses about Raghunuga Bhakti. So he tells about, you know, you follow the residents and you see the deities, you got to take. It tells all the development. And I've written several articles, and within the next month or so, by Krishna's grace, we'll be publishing one book on Raghunuga Bhakti, just to give the basic understanding in a very clear and Shastric way, and by Krishna's grace. And many books are there already, but this is our contribution. Like many, the Bridge of Setubandha by Ram. Only many monkeys brought rocks. And so there are many books about Ragnarok Bhakti. Many, many, you can download many articles and many good books. But I studied the subject myself with my teacher, and this is my understanding. And so I'm presenting that myself. And there are many, many good books. In fact, I read many of them and learned many things. It's only one subject. It's only the same subject with the same verses. So it's from your guru, the angle of vision you have and understanding and your presentation. So there, the last verse, he says, Bhagavan Karunya Va, Bhakta Karunya, Matra Lobaika, he's talking about Raghunuga Bhakti, Matra Lobaika Hetuka. He's saying there's only one, Matra means one, Hetu means cause, lobh means greed. Because the entrance to Raghunuga Bhakti is based on intense greed. If you have it or you don't.
Yeah.
You either have greed or you don't go greed. So the starting point of Raghunuga Bhakti is greed to love Radha and Krishna, or say, let's say greed, just general Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghunuga Bhakti is based on the greed to love and serve Krishna like one of his Brijvasi associates, Nanda Baba, Yashoda, and our the coward boys or the gopis like this, or Rakta Patrak servants. And Gaudiya means generally Sakhi Manjaris like this. So that greed. So how do you graduate from Vaidhi Sadhana? How do you get it? He says, Matra, the only loba, Matra Lobaika Hetuka. The only cause of getting this greed is by the mercy of Krishna, which is rare, or more prevalent is from the guru. You meet a Raghunuga Bhakti guru. He's following this path. He's siddha or not siddha. That we can't measure. We can't take a picture. This picture, see this picture? You can tell in this picture he's siddha. This one's not. There's no way to tell like that. That even if you, only if you're siddha, you'll understand. By looks, by you can't tell. But if they're all brahmapra and brahmanishtam and all these things, then you put your head there, you surrender, and you go forward. So it's nothing we can do. Either you have or you don't have. And generally we see, although Lord Chaitanya came to preach this, this is the great gift he came to give, mm-hmm. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that somehow they're not being favored by Krishna for sure, and they're not being favored by Guru. So they don't have any understanding, they don't have any interest, they don't have any attraction in Raghunuga Bhakti. Why? That's called fortune. Let's say in the receiving of different things in someone's life, many things are involved. And my teacher told me daiva, samskara, and svabhav. Daiva, samskara, and svabhav. Daiva means your good luck. Some people are just lucky. You know, some people, they're young, and they don't get married somehow or other, and they don't really have to work. Somehow God sent somebody, God or uncle, somebody, they get money, they get a place to stay, a rent, or they own, whatever, same thing. It all belongs to Krishna. And they get food, and even they get friends and everything. They don't work, they don't go to school, they don't do anything. But they're doing something, everyone's doing something, everyone's forced to act. That's called their luck, that's their bhagya. Why you and why not the other guy? That's called daiva. It's daiva. It's good luck. It's good for it. Daiva means it's the creator. Daiva, it's nature. It's just it's good luck. Then the other thing is a samskara. The other thing is samskara. Samskara means what activities were you doing in your last life? What activities were you doing? And all the activities and actions that we do, karma, it creates impressions. They're written in our CD, you know, our Jivan CD. It's being recorded by the laser, by Yamraj's laser or whatever. So all the things we did. So the kid's a little kid and he picks up a mridanga and he's a natural. Because he already played in last life. Or these great singers or whatever, you know. Even Prabhupada says that great purport. I wrote an article about that a couple of years ago about the glories of Goswami birth. And I quoted Prabhupada's own purport. Which is unusual because generally many people, you know, like Prabhupada himself, said, oh, once Prabhupada said, my enemies are the Jati Gosai. Jati Gosai means Nityananda, Jati means the family of Nittai or whatever. So that was his personal struggling with the beginning of the movement, whatever. But in his own purport in the Bhagavad Gita, which is written long ago, printed in 72 or so, Prabhupada wrote in the sixth chapter, is talking about yoga brushed, whole few verses about when a yogi, he practices bhajan or practices yoga, sadhana, gyan marg, or bhakti marg, and he falls down or doesn't complete his course in this life. Where does he take birth? This is Shinye Punye. He goes to higher planets. He goes to Chandraloka. He's born in devotee family. He's born Suchinam. Suchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Bijayate. Suchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Bijayate. Jayate means birth. Yoga Brash means break. So Suchinam Shimatam Gehe. So he gets some selections here. He's born in a wealthy family, aristocratic family, or he's born in a devotee family. So then in the purport there, it's so beautiful. You should read it. It's very nice. It says, if someone in their last life, if they did a lot of bhakti and bhajan, then in the next life, they're born in some Goswami family. They're born in some Goswami, probably says they're born in some Goswami family. So from the very beginning of their life, they can get training in bhakti and carry on from their last life's practice. Like your dear, you know, associate and teacher, guru in the Vrindavan. So Prabhupada is right there in the purport in Gita, glorifying. So he said, such a high birth. Or the Prem Gopal Goswami and all these kind of persons are very high. From birth, they're just born gurus. They're just, as Prabhupada himself is saying. He said they're just raised that way. So that's someone's daiva. Their good fortune, their good luck is they bump into a Raghunuga guru. And there's two causes of that, praktana arunika. Praktana kripa arunika. Praktana means, praktana is like prana. Means last life, prior life, you met a guru, you're practicing sadhana, and you took up bhakti, and then you took up Raghunuga bhakti. Mm-hmm. So that's sanskara, that's why I'm saying sanskaras, daiva, and svabhava. So the sanskaras, you have sanskara for rag bhakti. So this life, your rag bhakti meter or something or whatever, you know, your Geiger counter, it's going to find, oh no, not this one, here. You know, from the internet, oh, not to das pandit. Well, it is, oh, okay, yeah. So you come here, oh. But most people, especially Western people, Indian people, they have many lifetimes of doing different types of sadhana and maybe Shiva Upasana for so many lifetimes, and somehow got the mercy in a certain way. Then they became interested in the bhakti, and many lifetimes bhakti, then the Gaudiya conception. So Indians are very high on the spiritual scale, especially if they're, now you see in front of your eyes, they're taking out spiritual life in a very serious way. There's one gentleman, he's living at a full-time in a brahmachari life in Vrindavan. Another, and he's doing his bhajan. Another couple, a newly married couple, with so much ruchi for the Vrindavan. They come from their native country, and they give up to come here. How do they have that fortune? They don't need visa. They don't need passport. They don't have to be the bribe here and there. You know, this is their passport, you know? Mm-hmm. Brown eyes, brown skin, their passport. You know, they go anywhere. So that's their bhagya. That's their good luck. Now, there's sabhav. Sabhav is whatever you associate with in your last life. That's if you're a rajasic, tamasic person last life, you're born into a rajasic, tamasic family. So generally, 99.9% of all Western people have no sanskaras or raghunuga bhakti from their last life. For sure. Look around. Thousands and thousands of people all over the world taking up the Gaudiya Sampradaya. The Gaudiya Sampradaya is a Raghunuga Sampradaya. That is the actual meaning of it. But how many people get the idea? How many people follow? It's their daiva. There's a good luck. Or the praktana, adonika kripa or praktana. So adonika means this life. You're just... Take my own example, which is a little different than most Western people. 1974, I'm in Los Angeles, and I go to the temple, and they I don't know what books to buy. They say, "No, this is the book for you." Some lady, you know, Sankirtan ladies in a bookstore in the temple. They sell anybody anything, you know. So I said, I think I want to get Bhagavad Gita. You know that? She said, yeah, but no. This is the book for you. And she picked out this book and said this. I said, what's this book? She said, it's called Krishna book. Okay, Krishna book. And she gave me one. I said, okay, how much is this? It was a small paperback book, blue, small. In those days, there were three little books. And they're all paperback. Krishna, part 1, 2, and 3. It was nice. Vrindavan Leela, Bhatura Leela, Dwarka Leela. They had it three little, it was cheap, paperback. How much? She's all like 100 rupees or, you know, whatever. I said, okay, that's good. I can afford it. She said, no, but it comes in three parts. You know, this is this kind of thing. I can find one book. I said, no, but I'm good. You know, one book is like 100 rupees. That's enough, you know. No, you have to get three. Otherwise, it's not the whole book. I said, hey, what is this? Three books, one book. I always buy a book. I get one book. I get the whole book. But here I had to buy three books to get one book. Already I thought something's funny here, you know. Something's very strange. So then I got the book, and then the Krishna book. I started reading it, and I just read Vrindavan Leela. I read the whole book, all the Leelas. Then I said, oh, this Vrindavan Leela, I like too much. I don't know why. How, I don't know. And I found out at Vrindavan, there's a place called Vrindavan, and I read all these beautiful descriptions, waterfalls and this and that. So, yeah, there's nothing like that in Los Angeles. I'm living in Los Angeles. It's not exactly waterfalls. It's like a crazy place. So I had from I don't know if that's Rag Nuga Bhakti, I don't know what it is, but I know I had greed. I had some kind of greed and attraction to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan from that point. We speak honestly. We can't say, oh, I'm seeing Krishna and dreaming. I don't say these things, but we can say what we have. No, this is truth life and honest life. So everyone maybe not like that. So now how is it? So I knew that after 12 years of serving Gurudev in America, I said, I want to live in Vrindavan. I can't stay here. I was visiting twice a year for many years. And I just, you know how it gets to you. You know? That you can't, when you're a Western person, you wouldn't know. You're just living here, moving from one state to another. But we come here and it leaves such an impression and sanskar in our hearts and minds that we're haunted the whole year when we're not here. Oh, Vrindavan, it's so nice. You know, we're in a temple, everything's quite transcendental, living with devotees. But then it gets to a point, well, I can't live without Vrindavan. I have to go there. I don't know how or why. This is greed. This is greed. So from 74 to 87, how many years is that? 13 years. I was so, my greed, it started already when I got the Krishna book. And in 13 years, it was like, it's do or die. It's Vrindavan or nothing. If I can't stay there, I'll die. Now this is, you know, Indian folks, you know, we honor your sanskaras and we honor your high elevation, high birth, and we respect that and we know that. But you have to think about Western people, where they're coming from and what comes inside of them that draws them to this land to never leave. It's something extraordinary mercy from last life, or maybe they were Indians, or we were all Indians last life. That's probably a better chance of it. You know? So this, like, so I just knew that I was praying to Krishna, and when I was in Vrindavan, I prayed all the deities, please let me like this and go back to my seva. I was temple president, a sannyasi, many things I was doing, important sevas for the mission I was in. At a certain point, I even told my GBC, I said, I can't take it anymore. Please give me your blessings. I didn't have any money, but I went to buy a ticket, and they said, you have to buy a round-trip ticket or you can't get any visa. You know, a visa, you have to have a round-trip ticket. Yeah. And I said, okay, but I don't have any money for round. Can you just give me one way and let me see? So I give you one-way ticket, but now you have to take your ticket. You know, there's a system. You take your ticket and you show it to the Indian people, you know, I have my ticket, you know, and your passport, and you apply for a visa. They said, you don't know the system. So I go to New York City and I apply, and they said, this is only one-way ticket. And I said, no, but see, the purpose of this is Vedic studies, and maybe it's a 4-year course, and so I'll get a return ticket later. I was just like, you know, I'm a Sangradhan devotee, you know? And you have to get your job done, you know? So I said, he said, no, but this is a requirement, this round trip ticket. I said, and this is Indian man, you know, it's India. I said, Are bhai. I said, listen, you know, you think I'm lying? You think I'm a liar? I'm telling you, I'll stay, I'll do my studies, and I'll come back. Right? You believe me, right? So he said, this is not the protocol. I mean, it's the way to do. But okay, I'll do it. So then I came to India on a one-way ticket. I had a one-way ticket and a sankalpa. That's it. Sankalpa means a vow, a wish, a hope. And my prayer was, oh, Radha and Krishna, please let me come to your land. What is the meaning of this life? Why am I living? Why have I been so long trying to serve you? I want to love you. I want to see you. I want to be with you. I want to be in your... Let me start by living with you in your land, even if it's in separation. Even if it's an apricot, but that's better than nothing. That's a big start. So then I came with this prayer and came in the country, and somehow Radharani arranged for me to extend my visa 11 years in a row. So this is the question we're discussing is about the entrance to Raghunuga Bhakti. So everyone's journey is different, but that greed has to be there, praktana adonika, from last life or this life. And you're saying how is you have it's a gift, because Rupa Goswami is saying verse 309, chapter 2 of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he concludes all bhakti and said he tells all about Raghunuga Bhakti, and then so he tells all about it. The next question is, okay, you told me all about it, how to practice it. Well, how do you start? And he said, you start with greed. And where do you get greed? You get greed from someone that has it. It means you have to go to a Raghunuga Bhakta. And he may not be Premi, he may not be who's Prema Bhakti, that's and Bhav or even a Sakti or Ruchi, whatever. But he is in his own crippled or small way, whatever way he's doing. He or she, if the lady teacher, they're following the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, which they receive from their guru and trained. It's not very so much all complicated as it may sound. Esoteric. It's a sadhana. It's a sadhana. There's Vaidhi sadhana, Raghunuga sadhana. So there's hearing, chanting, remembering. But the focus is different. The attitude is different. The mentality is different. Yes. And that attitude, that abhiman, that mentality and attitude and feeling, that bhav and that abhiman, it comes through guru. It comes from the guru, through the diksha mantras, and through his blessings and kripa. So that's why we say the power or the greed or the divine greed or the initiating force to start the practice of Raghunuga Bhakti is by the mercy of Krishna or Guru. This is the words of Rupa Goswami. So that's how I can answer the question. There's no other way. You can practice Vaidhi sadhana for 1,000 lifetimes. And Vaidhi sadhana will take you to Vaikuntha and give you so many rewards. But only Raghunuga sadhana will take you to Radha and Krishna. There's a whole verse there and the whole discussion in Madhya Leela chapter 8, Ramananda Roy, Samvad. And Lord Chaitanya is speaking, Ramananda Roy is speaking. He said, if you don't follow Raghunuga Bhakti, you can't attain Krishna. Braje, Praptene Krishna Chandra. Without following Raghunuga Bhakti, you cannot attain Krishna Chandra in Vrindavan, Braj. The verse is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, spoken by Lord Chaitanya. So, we may be worshipping Krishna, Radha and Krishna, but if it's not in the Ragmarg, then we will have to some life come to the Ragmarg. Everywhere told, the greatest rishis, the Dandakaranya sages, the Shrutis personified, they wake up Vishnu every day. Every day the personified Shrutis, they wake up Lord Vishnu sleeping, Mahavishnu. They chant the Purusha Shukta. They stand on the shore of the ocean of milk. And he's lying on the Kshirasagar. Can't even see him. It's all mist and fog. And they chant Om Tad Vishnu. They chant all this whole Purusha Shuddha prayer. Then he wakes up Vishnu. So they somehow heard about the gopis, and then they expanded or took another form, or somehow the Shutis, they started practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, following in allegiance to the gopis of Vrindavan for millions of years. And they finally took birth as gopis in Boma Vrindavan, Prakat Lila Krishna. That's in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. And 29 through 33. So it's by special mercy you can begin and practice Raghunuga Bhakti.